Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings. From premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts, start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey everybody, welcome to Coach Unplugged, brought to you by the great people over at teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. 14-day free trial. I'm going to tell you, I'm not sure when this goes up if we're going to have our new site up yet, but prices are going to be increasing, so make sure you jump in soon. That's going to be really important. You can go over and check it out. A lot of resources, mentoring, community, basically everything you need to help you become a better basketball coach. So that's why we came up with that tagline. If you're looking for some free resources, I would ask you to go over and check out and subscribe to our YouTube channel at Teach Hoops. It's a great way to kind of get started with what we do along with this podcast. And let me apologize again. I tried to clean up these clinic audio as best I could. I know there's a little bit of an echo issue with some of these, but I thought they were so important to get them out to you guys. Down below in the show notes, there's clinic notes. It's for all the clinics. I think there's going to be six of them by the time we get done. I think we'll be done by the middle of October. I'm hoping to get some other clinics on here too, just to give you a little bit more variety as far as things that we're kind of trying to give to you. And if you have any questions, let us know at steve@teachhoops.com. So, all right, here we go. Off to the do's and don'ts of building a program. So here you go.
Good morning. I hope everybody traveled safe. If you got here, you come here with good spirits and willing to at least take one little tidbit that hopefully I can cause you. I am no guru. I will correct that. Not at all. I'm no expert. But there is a few things that I've picked up along the way that's helped my program. Hopefully it gets your creative juices flowing and you can take something that may help your program as well. Before I get started, I'd like to know who I'm presenting to, your backgrounds. Of course, we can't get into great detail, but how many men coaches do we have out there? Females. Filthy, y'all. The title of my presentation is The Do's and Don'ts of Building a Program. Of course, all of you have built your own program or are building a program or in a good place with your program. Again, I don't know at all. I'm just going to share some things that has helped me and has helped us. When you hear that title, what are some things that you think you're going to hear today from me? I have a few volunteers.
Culture.
What's your name, sir?
Jerome Coney.
All right. What's good?
Southern University.
Okay. Nice to meet you, Coach Coney. Culture. There are some things you're hearing from me about your culture. Yes, ma'am. Motivation. Very good. What's your name?
Tina Vega.
Coach Meade, Western Vega. Okay, I got you. How you doing, Coach? Thanks for coming.
Communication.
Okay, see? Again, I'll tell you, I'm no guru. Those three things are part of my presentation. I'm gonna start with accomplishments, not to brag or be boastful. I start with accomplishments just to let you know that this has worked for us. It may not work for you. We've been every gamut. We've been not so good. We've been average, and we've met the highest SMR Women's State Championship. So I've been every level you can be as a coach, all the ups and downs. And what I've done is compile this information to, again, to show you what has worked for us. The first thing I think is very important for coaches to know is to know your rule book. I'm assuming everyone here is North Carolina High School Athletic Association or some sort, maybe from another state, whatever the case may be. Know your rule book. Do not rely on your athletic director, past coaches, or anybody else to tell you what you can and cannot do with your program. No knock on any athletic director either. But they have so many other sports going on, they don't know your sport in and out as well as you should. Right? Let me know if I'm going too fast as well. Know the needs of your students. Know the needs of your student athletes. Know the needs of your players. Know their background. Know where they come from. Know what they deal with when they leave. That's very purposeful. Because when you're coaching, you have emotions you're dealing with, whether you're dealing with as a man or a young lady, they have the same things. They're dealing with things as well. So I'm a yeller. Like I get it. But if I'm dealing with a student or a basketball player who is coming from a background where every night they're dealing with somebody yelling, I'm not going to be very effective. Right? That makes sense. So as a coach, you need to know what you're dealing with. That way you can be most effective. I'm not technology savvy, so Coach Flo told me I could hit a button and it should go. No, okay. Team meeting. Now, this is something that I took for granted for a while, but then I met coaches who would tell me that they didn't have this in their program. They didn't have team meetings. Before you start the season, in order for your program to be successful, in my opinion, you must have a team meeting. You must have a team meeting. Must have a team meeting to review your standards, your team policies, and you must speak to a parent face to face. That is very important. As a coach, you deal with a lot of shit, right? You have to take some of it. But during this parent meeting, this is the opportune time for you to let the parent know how much shit you're going to deal with and what type of shit. For me, this is where I establish my rules, my procedures, my expectations. It helps me be transparent. It helps my coaching staff be transparent so we know when we have to deal with issues, which we will as coaches, maybe a young lady or a young man misses practice. It's very transparent that they see in writing, they've signed it, they can take it home with them. You see what my options are, what my consequences will be. Do not allow players to play until you've had that face-to-face meeting. Even if you have to sometimes go to a parent house or have an alternative meeting, please do that. Along with that same meeting, this is where you present your rules, print it out so they can see and read and feel for themselves. Provide copies to the parents and have the parents sign them. This is their accountability as well. Because if you go through a whole season and you don't have to refer back to that rule book, then God bless you. You are in an unimaginable situation. Yeah. That's cool. please. If I skip, it's okay. But practice time. In order to have a successful program, you must do the fundamentals every day. Although they're boring and mundane, even to us, they will be as a player's, but basketball hasn't changed. It hasn't changed since the peach basket. You have to know how to dribble, you have to know how to shoot, you have to know how to defend, you have to know how to pass. Find time in your practice, no matter how bad or how good your team is, to do the fundamentals and repeat them daily, every single day. Now I'm not.
You still do it like towards the later this season, like playoff time?
Absolutely. Every day. It's just like our structure. It's part of my day-to-day routine. Start practice on time and end on time. Now, there's a few things in my presentation that I'm still working on, and this is one of them. But I know that this will help your program. Starting your practice on time, I'm good with. It's the ending on time. Depending on, playoffs or what have you, I can get a little long-winded because I expect perfection. But if you can, try to honor that time. We'll talk about communication and relationship building. Build a relationship with your players. I've been lucky enough and blessed enough to coach at the same school where I teach. So one of the ways that I build relationships is I have an open door policy. If my players can come by at any time, even if I'm in the middle of class or what have you, I'll make time for them. That's very helpful in building relationships. During that time, I listen to things that I really don't give a shit about, but I act like I do. Yeah, your boyfriend, yeah, he did that. So great. Your Aunt Susie has a garden, great. Just whatever it is to build that relationship so they feel like that you care. Now don't get me wrong, I do care about them, but I don't care about their Aunt Susie's garden. So that matters. Very important. Build relationships with whoever they see outside of you. Whether it's their AAU coaches, if they have a trainer, build a relationship with them. It doesn't have to be, I'm not saying kiss or butt or anything like that. But I'm saying build a relationship, at least a neutral relationship. So in the off season or every time that they are with this AAU program or this AAU coach, that person isn't degrading you or bringing down what you've instilled. That will go a long way. If they play basketball with you 3 or 4 months and then go off and play 3 or 4 months with Coach A, and Coach A is still and say, you know what, Coach Sharon, he's a pretty good coach. Keep doing what he's doing. Keep playing like he wants to play. That's a whole lot different than, you know what, Coach Sharon doesn't know. He doesn't know what he's doing. You should do it my way. Y'all would be much better off if I was the coach. That is very important. These young people are very impressive. Very. So don't forget that. Don't have that. My mindset at the beginning was the outside didn't matter. It absolutely does. You can manage that. Parents. Again, that's something that you have to manage. Figure out your way to manage that parent-athlete relationship, that parent-coach relationship. A few mistakes that I've seen made by programs that I think are mistakes, I don't think it works for me, is never have a parent coach your program or be a coach within your program. No knock on anybody who's done it. If you've done it, if it worked for you, great job. I just don't see how it would work for me. As you know, people have innate responses and have prejudged ideas. So having a parent within your program can really hurt you. So make sure you think about that. Traveling to and from games. We have a rule that we win together, we lose together. You ride the bus to the game, and when we lose, you get on the bus and you ride back with us. Allow your players that decompression time. The last thing you want in order, if you want to succeed and have a successful program, is every time you lose, they hop in the car and the parents are going to say, Help me out. What does the parent want to tell the basketball player? Right. Who fought it? Who needs to play more? How many shots did so-and-so take? They should have passed it to you. You were the one. Give them time. They're going to hear it when they get home. Or they're going to hear it when they get to their parents. However, allow them that time to digress with you. Digress, yes, ma'am.
I struggle with that a lot, though, because of the classes and stuff. It's so late. Like, I'm an old school player. That's what we did. We rode the bus together and all that. But it's a hard line when our game gets late and we're traveling late or whatever. Because I want to go home and start studying, get something to eat, and go to bed. So I struggle with that a lot, of letting them, because I'm not used to that. And this was my first year. They rode home with parents. They were allowed to do something. So do I change,
look
that totally around, or?
That's your question is a great question. It is a struggle. I can tell you what I do, and then you can kind of figure out what we do goes back to that parent being.
Yeah.
I establish, when we lose, they must go home with me. With that said, we have kind of standards like this. We play well, and it's a Tuesday game, we can stay at halftime. So we'll get home in enough time to do our study. If we don't play well, we might not hear the Star Spangled Banner. So it's like I said, it's kind of whatever works for you, long as it's clear and consistent, then you know whatever you feel comfortable with. For me, it's always been back on the bus. If we don't perform well, if you perform well, halftime. And it also matters the distance that we're away. If we play some games, we're about 1 hour and 15 away. So those games, we try to get back on the bus so we can be prepared for school. Coming into coaching, one thing that wasn't done at the school I was at was the use of July and August. In order to have a successful program, use every little bit of time you can. Of course, you need your rest, you need your recovery time. But during July and August, you can be in the weight room. Whatever it is consistent with the rules of whatever embodies you, spend that time. To take a whole month off without your kids, I just think that time can be better used. Now, it doesn't have to be every single day. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is find some way to use August and July with your team, whatever it may be. And for high school in North Carolina, it's usually that July period. I find a lot of teams aren't doing too much. Academics on and off the court. Coach Minga, your question about getting back home for your schoolwork, that's important to building a program. And it has to be established that academics is just as important as basketball. We have GPA requirements for our team that supersedes the GPA requirement for the county. Of course, we have to make sure it goes back to those relationships and knowing our students. Every student on your team is an A student. Well, I can't say that about your team. Every student on my team is an A student. No way. It's not going to happen for me. But there is some D students who have been performing at D level who can get C's. And I think that academic piece teaches a lot of values and things that will make you a better basketball player and, of course, a better program. Study how a program. Most schools have, well, 1 week you may be early, the next week you may be late, some sort of scheduling like that. Again, find what works for you. For our program, that time that we're not in the gym, we spend together and study hall. Again, you're teaching the values that you're going to need once the basketball days are over. Player health, player fitness. Again, I have some things on this slide that I presented before that I'm working on. And one of the things I took off on this is for a coach to do your best to be physically fit. It's obvious why I took it off and I didn't want to share that with y'all today. All right? But as a coach, your appearance is important. As I've gotten older, it's become less and less important. I've gotten a little lazier. But that physical appearance, because again, young people are very impressionable. So if you, hey, you look like you played basketball, your message goes across totally different than someone that looks like they've never picked up a basketball. So do your best to be physically fit. And also your health is better that way. You know, the grinds and the ups and downs of the season can weigh on you health-wise as well. Establish a weight program, whether it's strength and agility, whether it's ropes, whether it's jumping ropes, whether it's bands, whatever it is, establish some type of extra that isn't basketball-like. For our program, that ensures toughness. It teaches toughness. Run heels. Do something that isn't directly related to basketball, so to speak. Team meals before games. Now, this has helped me, I think. Seeing, walking in the gym and seeing a player 10 to 15 minutes before pregame eat a number 3 from McDonald's and a milkshake. Great. And then they go out and score 20 against me. So I'm thinking, if they had something healthy, they probably would score 60. And it baffles me. Again, I'm just here to offer some things that we may let slip by in our program. You can't be women 24/7, but the thing you can do is offer a healthy alternative before every game. One, to bottle what you want, and two, so the performance is better. Health, diet restrictions. Again, you can't be with them when they're in the hallway. You can't be with them in the lunchroom. You can't be with them in the hallway. But while they're with you, you can establish certain rules and procedures and regulations. For us, it's no service. Anytime you're around me, you have to have one. Player development. And this is more prevalent in the female programs nowadays. The lack of female participation is killing young ladies' sports. Men, I don't think you have as much problems filling the JV team. So no matter what, try to have a JV team, no matter how terrible they're going to be. If you can find 6, 7, 8, possibly 9 young ladies who like sports, try to fill the team. One, so you have something to pull from. Later on, because you're that good. I believe that each one of you are that good that if you have a young lady in your program for 4 years, hopefully that fourth year they'll be able to help you in some way. And at worst, they can be a good manager. For me, I keep 2 young players on varsity, 9th graders if I can, who can't play basketball at all, but they embody some of the values, some of the morals, some of the character traits that I want my team to have. Toughness, perseverance, all those things. These players are players that the coach, or my players, my returning players, have come to me once the team is selected and say, "Coach, did you mean to take them off, or is that a mistake?" So really look for these character players. They'll help you out in the long run. Team bonding activities. Do 2 to 4 community service projects a year. Again, it's very important to me, and I think it's very important to the younger generation as coaches, as we instill that spirit of giving, that spirit of appreciation, that spirit of gratitude. Every situation isn't the same. And no matter how bad or how terrible your student athlete thinks they have it, it's good to see someone else who isn't doing as good as they are. Again, you know, all the morals and the values that instill. Fundraise together as a program. Raise money, even if you're at a spot where you don't need it. Still fundraise together. It shows them that this, without hard work, or you have to work hard, you have to work at something to receive something. Nothing is given to us for free. Some of us are in programs that have great booster clubs, and they're able to support our teams. That's great, but those booster clubs and those booster members are fundraising, are out asking for support and soliciting funds. Your players need to see that. Have your parents assist with fundraising as well. Consequences. Yeah, I'm an avid reader as well, Coach. Well, maybe I probably haven't read as many books as you, but I've read a few. And the trend I'm starting to see within the last 8-9 years is more and more books coming out saying suicides aren't good. Putting them on the line isn't good. Laughs isn't good. Again, whatever works for you, but for me, suicides work. Running works. Push-ups work. Whatever it is that works for you and your program, have an accountability measure, have a consequence. If they're not performing up to your level, mental-wise, have a consequence. For us, running works. Whatever it is for you, please do it. Don't allow players or your teams to perform in ways that you don't teach them. And that's a thin line. Don't punish them, or in my opinion, be careful punishing for missing layups or missing shots, if that's your thing, because that's more of a skill thing. But effort, I definitely agree or believe that there should be a consequence for it. And I think it should be a consequence that the whole team has to pay. Because in the state playoffs, when someone, one person blows their assignment, the whole team loses. And I think it's very, very, very important to establish that team concept, that team mentality.
Hey, everybody, I hope you're enjoying that. Again, make sure you subscribe down below. Go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. That allows us to bring things like this to you. I hope you're fighting through the audio on this. I do apologize for that. And go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Do you think
that
helps out with
accountability too?
For us, it does. For us, it does, because after so many times of you performing something bad, so to speak, the players are going to get tired of paying for you. So there's going to be a self-police, which takes you out of the equation. Hey, Johnny, make sure you pay attention. Coach said 2 crossovers, then finish with your inside. As opposed to you, Johnny, inside. That's what has worked for us. Any of y'all still old school running sprint suicides? Okay. Coach Perry, you don't have to do that, honey. Coaching staff. Hire assistant coaches or have assistant coaches as volunteers, whatever, that have aspirations of being head coaches one day. However, don't hire coaches that have aspirations of coaching at the place you're coaching. I'm just being honest, all right? Because that's a thin line. You want them to be head coaches, but you don't want them to want your job. Maybe, yeah, when you get done, coach, I'm going to slide in. That's a different thing than somebody coming in on your staff like, yeah, inside head, I can do it better, just wait. We're people, you have to understand that. Stick to your philosophy, whatever it is, and see it through. We know the quote, and I don't know who said it or who originated it. That's why I said it's unknown, it's in parentheses. It's a marathon, not a sprint. So just because you go out my first season, everybody beat us, I believe. We were bad, we just wasn't good. We got beat by 60. One game we got beat by 73. We just wasn't there. And every game it got worse and worse. Coach, what are you doing? That's not working. That's never gonna work. We stuck with our philosophy, we stuck with our system, and just one short year later, we turned that same team getting beat by 67 points. That same team went 22-7. The same team through our philosophy and through our constant practice. Believe in yourself and your abilities. And that's a hard thing to do because most coaches, and I'm sure you are just like I am, we take a lot to heart. Every time we lose, it must have been us, right? It must have been something I didn't do, what have you. I must change. But you got to believe in yourself. It's okay to go back to the drawing board every so often. But if you're going back to the drawing board after every loss, that's not very good. You're not going to have a structured program. You don't know what direction you're going, and guess who else doesn't know what direction you're going? The players. Questions? So if you don't have any questions, that means I either did damn good or I wasted your time. Thanks, Kevin.
I'll ask one thing. I kind of went back and forth when you were talking about the running and stuff as a running man. And I know I'm kind of limited on my budget, but how creative are you on that? You kind of, like, they know what to expect every time, or are you coming up with a whole bunch of them? Like, I don't know if they be able to eat me or whatever, but I came up with a million things to try to come up with the almost catching my guard so they don't fall into that path.
Following that path as?
Have been always going to suicide. I've heard Pat someone talk about it. She was kind of like, you don't want your kids to hate run until you don't run. But, I mean, I get that to an extent, but sometimes, like, that's the only way. But I know the coach at West Virginia, this is where I was saying the budget comes in. I wish I could afford it, because he puts like 8 treadmills around the board. And as soon as they mess up, you just point. And they get on that treadmill, he's like, you don't have to run. It's just on right here. So he makes them just keep up with the treadmill. You put it up really high and tell them you're on there for so many minutes or whatever like that.
All right.
But just being creative or whatever like that, how much do you implement into your work?
I'm not real creative. I have the first time that I address it, it's a down back. The second time I address it, it's a push up. The third time I address it, we have stairs, not just faces. They go up pretty high. We run a stair. First time it's on you, the next 2 times it's on the team, and then the cycle continues. Now, again, I tell you, you have to be careful, because there are some times, there are some practices that basketball players, student athletes, especially females, no, not going females, so this is who I coach, they're stubborn. So they figure, coach, I'll run all day. Eventually, we have to run this place. We got Daniel, right? But I'm just as stubborn as they are. And I'd rather not be prepared for the game skill-wise in your mental strength there. So I'll go as long as they want to go. And if it's time for practice to end, I had that in my slide about end practice on time. Parents coming in the gym, hey, coach, it's time for practice. Go. Your kid isn't following instructions. If you get them to follow instructions, they'll be outside short. You may not have that leeway in your program, but for me, that's what it is. So to answer your question, coach, I'm not real creative. They know. And a lot of times, that self-policing comes in. Stop what you're doing. We're not going to do this again because next is the stairs. And we don't need to do that today.
I did the same thing one time that you were just talking about. So I had to run for an hour and a half straight the night before the game. And the message kind of got through, but, you know, it kind of cost us.
It is.
And it's kind of like you better cost early than late.
Absolutely. And I agree with that philosophy. And it has hurt. And it's up to you how far you want to go. For me, that mental toughness, that ability to follow instructions, not even getting it, outweighs that loss. For me, you know, some of you, you know, I'm just providing things that has helped our program be solid, I believe. Any other questions? Thank you for that question, Coach.
What was the big change when you went from the losing team to what happened if the girls were made for the
Great question. Nothing. We just kept grinding and sticking to our philosophy. We weren't very good, but I expected them to be good. We didn't change a thing from year to year. Everybody, even you introduced me as, you know, he's great. He went from here to here in a matter of a year. I didn't change. There was nothing great about it. It's just over time. Over time, they learned. We learned what the system was, what was going to work for us. Now, there was definitely times where myself and coaching staff said, Coach, we're 0-7. You sure this is the direction we want to go? And just with belief and trust and perseverance, I think if we stick with this, we will be okay. And for us, it happened to work out. But of course, it could have went the other way, and I'm sitting, I don't know, coaching tennis or cross country or something. No knock on those sports, it's just that wasn't what I wanted to do. I have time for a few more questions. Yes, sir.
Okay, so did you see a change in your leadership, like from seniors and upperclassmen, from when you first came and you have moved into the, maybe now, did you see like a change in them and how they live?
Yes. When I came, of course, there were senior leadership that was under another coach before. So they had their standards, their philosophy, and still for 3 years from someone else. And he was an amazing coach. Amazing coach, and I learned so much from him. But, of course, everybody is different. So there are some things that I wanted to instill that was quite different. So things did get much better once I had the group that came next to me. It really did. Is that what you were asking?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Where's that?
Excuse me, tell me your name, Coach.
Trey Fuentes.
Fuentes?
Fuentes.
Fuentes. Coach Fuentes, good to meet you.
What do you do about my mental toughness and my slow practices, or beginning slow practices?
That happens. It really does. And what I try to do is not get frustrated with it. That's the main thing, and then we just keep repeating the process. And that's why I say running works. So those practices where it's getting like that, I'll just put all the balls on the rack, take those upstairs, lock them up, and say, we can have basketball practice, which is mental focus, or we can have track practice. It doesn't matter to me because I'm not running anyway. So usually that gets it. And like Coach Shaver said, it's been situations where that's hurt as well. So you got to kind of find that balance, what works for you. There's been situations where the girls were very stubborn, and it became that. And then next night after that, and after that, it's up.
I just want to make a comment. I don't know if you've seen Coach, but he believes what he believes. And I would dare say that the difference between year one and year two, from my viewpoint, was it's hard to learn and get better at the same time. So in year two, when they kind of know what to do, it kind of helps you. And that's kind of what I told my kids forever. I know you're brand new to this, so I'm trying to give you some way to understand. But once you, if you think about this school, when you're learning something brand new, when I did the business school at UNCG, I struggled. And then when I kind of knew, okay, these classes go this way, and there was some consistency, then it was easier to let off. And the winning part becomes a little bit more of a better reason for it.
Absolutely. Things go much better when you win. Those messages went across much clearer, and they believe it. When you lose, it's like, oh, we'll keep doing it because we don't want to run suicides. But then once you start to see the benefit from it, then it was kind of second nature. You gonna have time for a few more? Will we have time? Okay.
Coach, just to follow up, kind of a couple of the other statements. You talked about building culture, building the program. You know, in our situation, you know, we're private and the numbers aren't there. So, you know, I don't have girls that truly want to play basketball or the level of basketball. You know, they're there just to kind of get a feed. You know, and we're surrounded by schools, Northwest Guilford, both of them state championships. And so they look at that and they're like, the grass is greener on the other side. And so you're trying to build a program with young ladies that aren't in the gym full speed work. You know, so we talk about preseason workouts and we talk about team and stuff like that. But, you know, you want the buy-in, right? But if you're not getting the commitment from local players and parents, and I'm curious if this is a suggestion as to how do you really, you know, implement that buy-in?
Your situation is very unique in a private school. One, numbers are low, and two, most of the time students already, well, I'm assuming most of the time student athletes know what their niche is by the time they get you. So I can't really provide a great answer for you, but I can tell you what it was for us that got the ball rolling. And it was being blessed and lucky. We had one or two freshmen come in the year that I got hired who was committed. And those two combined in fed off from other people, even ones that wasn't basketball players. But they saw how much that they worked, you know, how committed they were, and it just kind of fed. It's kind of contagious. If I was in your situation, again, no expert, I haven't ever been into a private school, but I would probably start with some athletes who may play soccer, who may play something else that's a very agile sport, and just ask them, do you want to try basketball? And I use small steps. There's kids I got in the hallway, I said, just come to one practice. How was it? Well, come tomorrow. Try it for a week, and if you don't like it, fine. Another thing that has helped me and may not be relevant to your situation, when you talk about the parent right here. Myself and my coaches have had to be somewhat of that parent right here. Take them home, pick them up for Saturday practice. They may not, that may be their outlet. So what we use basketball for at our school, I didn't go much in the background of our school, but we're a Title I school. What that means is most of the students are below the poverty line, this, that, and third. So what I try to do is show basketball as a lifeline. This is something that you can do after school, that you can get away from your situation just for a couple hours. And again, that doesn't sound like it would work for you, so to speak, but that's where we are. Great question.
Exactly, but it is kind of what Coach was talking about the volunteering and all that stuff like that, all of that stuff off the court tends to build the stuff on the court. So we're in the fun generation, so you know, folks got that kind of makes some stuff fun. And that's what it was in my case. When I had the travel rest, I had two kids playing travel. And the buying thing was really, really tough. So I think in that way we are seeing more. But I think Coach hit it on the head. You get that one kid, in my case it was one kid, and we kind of flip stuff. I was telling them they didn't get it. When they saw this kid coming out of eighth grade, and I put him on varsity, and I played, they were like, whoa. And then they saw how hard he worked. When you get that one kid and have all the centerpiece and all the side pieces at somewhere to fit.
I'm curious to know, as you, I believe that you will build your program, I'd like to know later on what worked for you. Because, you know, I'm still learning as well. And I think a private school situation, especially with female sports right now, would take a whole lot of creativity. Any more questions? All right, so we know nothing in life is free. So I've given you pretty much what I got. I need a few minutes to take back. I really do. So you gentlemen over here being pretty quiet the whole time. So I know you have something good for me that I can take back or something you saw on the slide that you may disagree with, something that can get my juice flowing as well.
I was just going to comment that I started in the state championship team to play. And then Casey going out pretty well when he was at Greensville. So I've gone down to Greensville just as soon as team left. So we typically scrimmage that in the preseason. He had that undefeated season going on. And your team pretty much dismantled them to the point where they couldn't cross half court against your pressure. So I'm just learning from the master.
Oh, here we go with this again. No master at all. Yes, that team was tricky, that regional team. When the playoffs started, or prior to the playoffs, it looked, if things went well in our hand, that we would have to face it. So I had a chance to see them three or four times prior to, and they were tricky. Like, I couldn't figure out what it is. You look up, they were up by 30 games over. Very long and athletic team. I think we caught them by surprise that night. That particular night. Right. And I think they wasn't used to facing that for 32 minutes. And it kind of was like, well, we've been by that time. Because if you remember, that game got out of hand very, very quick. Maybe a 35, 40 point game at halftime. And we came back and only won by 17. So they won the second half. control in the second half. I just think that initial jump was very helpful. What's your name, Coach?
Tim Cruz. He's now known as Tim Cruz.
Okay, Coach. Good to meet you.
Good to meet you, too.
Anything you saw on there that you have at your program that can help you as we move forward?
I agree with about everything you said. Obviously, every scenario is going to be different. One of the things that we do different from England is kind of have a control. Obviously, you guys try to set less on away games. We get slammed from now next county on mileage, so we combo and run together. So we have to stay for the England boys game. Because of that, I agree with you. Remember when home after the game was over, I've been on ride too. But because we're at Michael on a Tuesday night, my parents are there and I want to take the kid home with them. We just have them sign a waiver and go because of the situation and circumstances kind of dictate that. Otherwise, we're going to 11 o'clock. So if we were getting on the bus and leaving after our game, it would be absolutely just like you for the same reasons.
That's an extraordinary point. I do want to make sure that point is noted, that your situation may not dictate you to do some of the things that I present. That situation, I would absolutely say, take off with your parents. You don't get home at 11 o'clock at night. To be back at school for us is 8:15. So, great point. Anything from here I can take home?
Yeah. I was thinking about talking about they're doing stuff together as a team. You can't just be all basketball all the time. It's something we do. You guys probably don't do something similar to this too. Maybe around Christmas when we have a week between a game or something like that. You know, one day we'll have a practice plan for 4 o'clock on Tuesday or whatever. All the guys will show up in the gym at 3:30. Start getting ready for practice or whatever they're doing, and we just go on the bus and take them to the bowling alley or something like that.
I like
that. Just kind of like, we'll put them on teams and make it competitive in the bowling alley, but you know, it's just a way to get them out of the gym for a little while, to have a little time together to have that fun.
I like that. I like that, man. I like the surprise. Yeah. What's your name, Coach?
Matt Kaiser.
Coach Kaiser, yes. What's good?
Southwestern Reno. Yes.
Okay, pleased to meet you. Coach Flo, that's it. I got a few things that I can use, and hopefully you all have gotten at least your juice flow on some things. On my contact information, feel free. I'm not that guy that you're going to get on my nerves, or you might get home and think about something, or you might just want to talk. My email is there, and I don't mind giving out my cell phone number. It's 336-430-8404. Again, that phone number is 336-430-8404. What you'll get from me is honesty. Let's make it quite clear, because I don't want you guys to go anywhere else and introduce me like Coach Flo did and say I'm some guru. I'm not that. But what I will offer is the insight and my perception of what has helped and hurt me along the ways. And I'll be straight honest with that. That's just who I am. And then it just helps to bounce your ideas off of other people who may have crossed that same path or that same bridge that you have. And I don't mind sharing anything, because most of it I've gotten from other people. So I'll share the wealth. Definitely appreciate you guys taking a few moments with me this morning and listen to what I have to offer again. I hope this will help you and your program along the way.
Hey, Coach, I hope you enjoyed that. And again, 18,000 apologies for the audio. It is what it is, but I again thought I cleaned it up the best I could. Go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. I want to take my wife to dinner. and again, make sure you subscribe and like here, and then make sure you go over and check out, you know, like I don't talk about my YouTube channel a lot, but go over and check that out. Subscribe, like, I think it will be a great resource for you if you're not a member of our Teach Hoops community. So have a great week.
Sports Social Podcast Network.